So before we go into our first hymn, if it's all right with those on the live stream, I'm going to come down here and if we can have the PowerPoint up. So as I said, it's our family gift giving day. And what we're going to be looking at now is who is the boss? Who's in charge? What is God ultimately like? What is God really like? And there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you here. So firstly, who is the best out of these? Now, perhaps for some of you older ones, you won't know who these people are coming up on the screen, and I don't blame you. Two of them, I didn't even know who they were. I had to ask, what do young people like these days? So who's the best? Who's that? Dude Perfect. Who's not heard of them? If you're above the age of 30, 40, that was... who's that? Gone? Greta Thunberg, yeah. And the final one, what is it? Mark Rober, yeah, I didn't know who that one was. So out of them, who's the best? Put your hands up if you think it's Dude Perfect. Quite. For those above 50, you're like, I don't know why I came. Greta Thunberg. I mean, a lot of you here, especially if you're in primary school, you probably spent more time in school than Greta Thunberg. But Mark Rober, a cup. There you go. Jeff loves Mark Rober. There you go. So... he's got a tool bench. He likes his tools. There you go. Who's in charge? Who's in charge there? Go on, Joseph. The Queen. You would like to think the Queen. One day it will be Prince Charles, wouldn't it? One day it will be Prince William. They will be king. Harry's kind of ruled himself out of this now, isn't he? He's kind of trying to ignore everything. So he probably won't be in charge. Okay, this next one. I started writing this talk politically when things were a little bit different. Who's in charge? Go on. Probably Boris Johnson, we don't know. So it used to be David Cameron, didn't it? Then Theresa May. It won't be Boris Johnson soon, maybe. So that changed in the course of this week, so that picture's a little bit old. Really, who's in charge? Really, who's in charge? Well, actually, it's the God of the Bible, isn't it? It's the God of the Bible that's really in charge. He's the one that made everything. He's the one who keeps everything going. He's the reason why you woke up this morning. God is in charge. And I wonder if you agree with me with that this morning. If you don't agree with me, I would like to challenge that this morning. And if God is in charge, what is God actually like? We've just seen some perhaps political figures or monarchs and other people that we enjoy and like to watch. But if God is in charge, well, is he a good leader or a bad leader? Is he a loving leader or unloving? Is he, what kind of leader is he like? Is he a kind leader? Is he a hard leader? What do you think of this one that's really in charge? So basically what we're going to be looking at now, there's three things of what God is like. There's lots of things that we could look at this morning of what God is like. This service could be a few hours long, but for sake of the weather and you going out to enjoy, we'll only look at three things this morning. But we could look at that actually, that God is loving. We could look at that. We could look at that God is everywhere, or perhaps a smart word. If you want to be smart to your friends, you could say, which one are we on? Omnipresence. You could say that God is all-powerful, omnipotent. We could say that God is all-knowing, omniscient. We could say that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All those things would be right. We could look at any of those things today. But actually, we're going to just look at three things about what our leader is like. Perhaps things we don't sometimes think about. I'm going to ask you, firstly, I'm not very good at crosswords and things like that, I'm dyslexic. One thing I do like is pictures and things like spot the difference. So I'm going to start with a couple of these, okay? So can you spot five differences there? Right, so the thing is, just thinking from that, if we're asking what God is like this morning, well, what's the difference between someone like you? We spotted those differences. What's the difference between someone like you, someone like me, and then someone like God? What are the differences there? And there's loads and loads and loads of differences there. But perhaps one of the biggest differences between us and God, and perhaps one thing we don't think about much, is that God is awesomely holy. We just sang, holy God in love became. And there was once a prophet. This prophet's called Isaiah. And a prophet is someone who speaks to the people on behalf of God. So God speaks to this prophet, and then the prophet spoke to the people. And there's this awesome chapter, perhaps read it when you get home, Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees something about what God is like. And Isaiah 6 is this amazing verse, Isaiah 6 verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory. It's full of his glory. Wow. Holy, holy, holy. Not just one holy, not just two, but three. In those days, if you said words meant something back then, when Isaiah wrote that, about 600 years before Jesus, if you said something once, it was true. You said something once, it was true. If you said something twice, it was really, really true. If you said something three times, it was so true, so really, really, really true, it made your head hurt and you had to sit down to work it out. And holy, holy, holy. I mean, kids, don't perhaps look at your parents now, but sometimes your parents tell you things once, twice, three times, four times. And then perhaps they then point at you and you say, I've told you this three times now. I've told you not to do this three times now. It's perhaps children looking at their parents here like, yep, that's me. But I don't know if any of your parents do say that. And they say it because you should have got the message by now. If they've told you for the 50th time not to do something, you should have listened. There's siblings nudging each other. But we should get the message from this verse. God is so holy, more holy than we can possibly imagine. God is holy, holy, holy. And we might think, well, okay, what does this word holy, what does it mean? Well, it means to be, like, spot the difference in that sense. It means to be different, special. Not just perfect, dangerously perfect. God is holy and we're not. God is holy and we are sinful. We know this word sin, don't we? And it's not safe for sinful people to go even near God. There's this gap between us and God. God is loving and kind, but God gave us this picture. God gave us a picture in the Bible of what it helps us to understand what this holiness means. In the Old Testament, we read about the temple, don't we? And there's the time of Solomon, there was this glorious, glorious temple. It's beautiful. And people were allowed, you can see on the outside, people were allowed there. And as you got closer in the temple, you couldn't go there. Less and less people were allowed to go in there because they weren't holy. And then inside the temple, and it's a little diagram of what it was like inside the temple. You were allowed kind of on the outer court, some people, only some people there. And then you go to the holy place, which you can see there, and only some priests were allowed in there. And then you get in the very center there, they're called the Holy of Holies. No one was allowed in there except for one man once a year, and even then he had to have a sacrifice to make sure he could go in there safely. That's, God is holy, sinfulness cannot go near God. And so what did God do to try and show this holiness? Well, he put a massive, massive curtain there. This is my curtain, a little bit different, spot the difference. Thanks Ben for the help. Sorry if that was a distraction during the song, but it was just this rubbish curtain, just going to show. This curtain here, it was three stories high, a little bit different to this one. It was three stories high, and you might think, oh, it's only a curtain, surely anyone can get past that. It was thicker than a man's hand. It was basically like a wall. It's more like a wall. And it's God's way of saying, imagine a better curtain than this one, but it was God's way of saying, look, you're here. All of you are here. You're not allowed to pass there because I'm holy, you're not. I'm holy, you're not. There's a difference between us and God. If you think that you can come past this curtain safely, if you go past this point, then dead. Dead. I mean, imagine that. This is real. This is history. This was in Jerusalem. And if you took one step past this curtain, you took one step past this room, and then that was it. That was it. And this curtain was to keep them safe. It was reminding the people that God is holy, 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 and we're not. He's different to us. And that means that we can't come near, if we want to come near God, we need to be holy too. We need our sin to be taken away and to become holy like him. But we can't do that ourselves, can we? I know my own heart. I know I'm not holy. Perhaps you know your heart. And so what's going to happen? Well, we've got this separation. Do you feel the weight of that this morning? The separation between us and God. We need to be holy. There's a big problem. We can't. There's this barrier between us and God. And the problem is we can't do it ourselves. We can't get rid of this barrier ourselves. We need God in his love and his kindness to do something for us. How are we going to get to God? I mean, imagine, we've had a picture of the Queen already. Imagine you were invited to go to Buckingham Palace and you were to go and meet the Queen. There's the lovely lady herself. Imagine you're going to go and meet the Queen. What would you do? What would you wear? Well, imagine if you were to show up in a dirty football kit. That wouldn't happen. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't go to meet the Queen in a dirty football kit. What would you do if you were to go there covered with mucky food all over you? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be able to go and see the Queen. If you just mess up and you just got dirt all over you, you wouldn't be able to do it. And even more, if you were to meet the Queen, you'd dress up, wouldn't you? If there's an occasion, you see these people dressed up, all in their frocks and their suits and everything like that. Well, in a far more serious way, we can't stand in front of God with our sin. We can't go there. We can't do it. So we're going to think about that after our next hymn as well. How can we stand in front of this holy, holy, holy God? How can we do that? So our next one we're looking at. So God is holy. Completely set apart, completely different. He is special, not just perfect, but dangerously perfect. And that's not a bad thing. That's an amazing thing. And if we believe in God, we would want him to be absolutely perfect, wouldn't we? But the thing is, so there we are, separated by God because of our sin. So we can't approach God. We can't get close to him. Remember this awful curtain anyway. But the next thing we're going to look at, God, is a wonderful thing. That God is compassionate. God is compassionate. So perhaps what does that word mean? It's quite a long word. Well, it's about what we just sang. God, Jesus, God is strong and kind. God is not just strong enough to help us. He's kind enough to help us. He's compassionate. And the story of Jonah shows us this, doesn't it? The story of Jonah shows us this. Firstly, God was kind and compassionate to Jonah. And God loved this city called Nineveh, didn't he? We're just going to quickly go through the story. But he hated the people in Nineveh were running away from him and rejecting him. And he wanted them to turn back to him. So he told Jonah, go and tell the people of Nineveh that they're going the wrong way and they need to run to me, not away from me. But Jonah didn't really like the people of Nineveh, did he? And he went, well, there was Nineveh, and he went not to Nineveh, didn't he? He went to Tarshish. And there was this boat that he sailed on, and suddenly there was this big storm. Jonah knew the storm was his fault, that God sent this storm because he had run away from God's. And which is ridiculous, isn't it? You can't run away from God. And the sailors there were petrified. They were scared. They started throwing out all this luggage, trying to keep the boat afloat. And Jonas and they were panicking and they were praying to these other silly, false, little gods. They were praying to them. And Jonah says that he worships the one true God who made the sea and everything in it, who made the whole world and everything in it. If they throw him overboard, then the storm would stop. They didn't want to do it. They started throwing more things out, and then eventually they did. And then suddenly, as soon as Jonah hit the sea, everything stayed calm. The wind stopped. The rain stopped. The storm stopped. And Jonah started sinking and sinking and sinking. He thought it was the end. And then, well, I know that sounds strange, but God sent this big fish to come and swallow Jonah up. He was inside this fish for 3 days. Obviously, Jonah didn't taste terribly nice because 3 days later, the fish spat him back out again on this beach. Now, God says, go to Nineveh and tell the people there. And did he go this time? Yeah. He told the people of Nineveh, stop running away. Stop running away from God. Run to him. Say sorry for your sin, for the times you've ignored God. Ask for forgiveness. And the bad, terrible people in Nineveh said, yeah, you're right. You're right, Jonah. We'll say sorry to God. And then we know after that, don't we, that after that, Jonah sat on this hillside for a while, seeing what would happen to the people of Nineveh. Would God just come down on them with judgment because he's holy and the people weren't? And God even provided, compassionate God, kind God, provided this plant for Jonah to get, we know what it's like at the moment, don't we, with the heat. Sometimes you just want some shade, and that's what Jonah did. He had shade under this plant. He gave him a bit of food as well. And what happened the next day? What happened the next day to the plant? It died. The plant just died. And it showed that he was so upset about this. He showed that he cared more about the plant than all the thousands of people in Nineveh, the 120,000 people there. And God said to him, he said, look, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? I love that last bit. God's even concerned about the animals. But God is compassionate. He doesn't want the people in Nineveh to just ignore him and reject him and go their own way. He describes them, doesn't he, as people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand. I mean, that sounds fairly easy, doesn't it? Hopefully most of you here know your right hand from your left hand. I mean, right now, put up your right hand. Put up your left hand. I've never seen Newtown Evangelical Church look so charismatic. Love it. But that's easy. Right hand from their left hand. Well, that's easy. Well, how do the people of Nineveh not know that? What does God mean by this? Well, I'm going to need someone to be blindfolded now. Adults never volunteer for this stuff. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm not going to do Jeff. Joseph, you're the one that spoke to me first. Okay, so Joseph, you come up. Sharon, if you could start blindfolding him, Dan as well. I want you now to walk forward and make sure you don't break any of the hurdles down, okay? Okay, come back again. That was fairly good, fairly good. I was a bit disappointed you didn't walk into that, so you're not really helping the illustration. Okay, let's have someone else. Okay, Matthew. Again, and I'm going to ask Grace as well. Can you see? Is it a bit too tight? Have I broken your nose? Okay. Now, to help Matthew, Grace, I want you to help describe to him where the obstacles are, okay? And see if you can get round them now, okay? So, Grace, over to you. Help him out. That seemed a lot easier, yeah? Well done, well done. I was going to get prizes for all of you, but I didn't. I'll get them later. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you. Did it seem a little bit easier when there was instructions? Especially with her holding on to him, that helped a lot. Saying that, Joseph did very well. You didn't help my illustration. But the thing is, with Joseph, perhaps you just made a right mess of things, hitting into things a lot more than Matthew did, but you did very well. The thing is, when you can't see, you keep knocking into things, don't you? And that's what God means with the people of Nineveh, that they don't know their right hand from their left hand. They ignore him. They simply don't know right from wrong. That's what he means. They don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. And so God was loving and compassionate to send Jonah to say, you're going wrong. You don't know you're right from your wrong, but you're going wrong. God doesn't want you to live like this. And there's another verse that shows us how loving and kind God is. It says to Peter, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. But God is patient with you. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to change his heart and life. So have you done that this morning? Have you recognized the wrong and actually the right that God wants for you? Have you gone to him for forgiveness? And you can do that even this morning. Have you come to God for forgiveness? And you can do that now. How can this holy, compassionate God forgive you? Well, that's what we're going to look at in our last section. But before we do that, sorry to spring it on you, but perhaps if the creche and the Sunday infant Sunday school teachers could come up and start giving their prizes, and I'll move all this stuff. Right. So our last section, we're drawing to a close now. So God is holy, completely different. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. God is compassionate and loving. So what's the last thing we're going to look at? The thing is, God doesn't want us to go to hell for all eternity without him. It says that, as that last verse said, didn't it? But God wants to, being patient with you, he does not want anyone to be lost. He doesn't want you going to that lost eternity in hell without him. So how is God going to forgive us? So before we answer that question, God spoke, didn't he? God spoke through Isaiah, we heard. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through Jonah. Did you know God even spoke through a bush? God spoke through a burning bush. So most of you know the answer to this next question, I'm guessing. Who is this on screen now? Who's that? Yeah, Larry? Shrek and Donkey. Yeah. So, Charlie loves it. Stealing the show, Charlie. So, Shrek and Donkey. Did you know there was a time that we're talking about how God speaks? There was a time that God spoke through a donkey. You don't believe me? Read about it in Numbers 22. So unlucky DreamWorks, they weren't the first ones to think about a talking donkey. God was the one that thought about talking donkeys. But now, recently, what we see is God spoke to his people in many times in different ways. God has spoken and God still speaks today. How does God speak to you right now? Well, there's a verse that says this in Hebrews. It says, in the past, God spoke through our ancestors, through the prophets, like Isaiah, Jonah. He spoke to them many times and in many different ways. And now in these last days, God has spoken to us through his son, Jesus. God has chosen his son to own all things. He has made the world through the son. The son reflects the glory of God. He is the exact copy of God's nature. He holds everything together with his powerful word. The son made people clean from their sins. So there's so many things we could look at in those three wonderful verses. Study it for yourself. There's so many amazing things we can see. But did you see how God speaks to us now? How God speaks to us now? I'll take out some of the words. God has spoken to us through his son. He's an exact copy of God's nature. When Jesus spoke, when we hear Jesus speaking in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we see Jesus speaking, that's God speaking. He speaks to us now in the Bible. When you're reading the Bible, you're hearing God speaking to you. And so what we're looking at in this, in a sense, in this last section is that Jesus is God's size, Jesus is God's size and God is Jesus shaped. That if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. You need to get to know Jesus. And we do that by reading our Bibles. We do it by reading our Bibles. So you've just received those gifts. Some of you are looking at them already. But those books are great. They've been chosen because they will help you love Jesus more. Read them and treasure them. But never stop reading your Bible, because that is Jesus himself. That's God himself speaking to you. How do you know God loves you? Well, he's speaking to you through his words. We don't need to guess what God is like. We don't need to wonder what God is like. As you get to know your Bible, you get to know Jesus. That yes, God is holy. Yes, God is compassionate. But also God gives us a gift. God gives an amazing gift. We've had gifts today. But that's just showing that God is the ultimate gift giver. Now, I've said this before. There was a few Christmases ago, I don't know if you remember the Sainsbury's advert that came out. It was about a dad who's really busy, working hard. He was in this meeting, in that meeting, but above and beyond all that, he had to try and had the added pressure of trying to find Christmas presents for all his family, and he just wasn't seeing his family. And then he realized that the best gift that he could give us at Christmas is himself. give himself, to be there with his family. That was the best gift he could give them. And that is the best gift God can give us, is himself. That's the greatest gift he could give us, to be there for us, to be there with us. And he has done that with Jesus. We see the most famous verse in the Bible, don't we? John 3:16. We read there, don't we? That God loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son as a gift, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So what we see in our gift service now is the ultimate gift giver. He gave his son for you to be forgiven, for this barrier between you and God to be completely vanish. What happened to that curtain when Jesus died on the cross? It tore in two, didn't it? That barrier has gone. God doesn't want us to spend eternity in hell without him. So if you trust Jesus today, he can forgive you. It's not about us doing the right thing or the good thing to get to heaven. It's not about you being good in school or good with your parents about getting to heaven. They are good things. But I spoke at the men's bowls night this week. So we had a men's bowls night on Monday, and I spoke there saying how I came to Jesus. And when I was 16, someone asked me the question saying, say you are outside heaven's gates, what would you say to get in into heaven's gates? What would you say to get in? And at 16 years old, I completely messed up the answer. I started saying, I'm good at home. I help out with my parents. I help out at church. I've done this. I've done that. And he said to me, the person leading said to me, well, that's not enough, is it? That's not meeting God's standards. And that really shocked me. And it's not about the good things that we've done to get into heaven. It's about what Jesus has done for us to get into heaven. It's about trusting him. So are you trusting Jesus dying on the cross for you as a free gift? You've all accepted gifts this morning. Have you accepted the greatest gift of Jesus? As it says there, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we're going to finish with this. There's this man here. He's called Tom Torrance. And he was an army chaplain in World War II. And if you don't know an army chaplain, it's like a pastor who's in the army who tells people about Jesus. And he said, during World War II, what was the one question that people kept asking him over and over and over? Is it questions like, why does God let the war happen? Why does God allow suffering and death? No. The one question he was asked over and over and over, is God really like Jesus? Is God really like Jesus? With bullets flying over their heads, what do they needed to know that question above everything else. Why? Because if Jesus is really like God, if Jesus really is God, then ultimately everything is going to be okay. Because he's given his son. He entered our family so we can enter his family. The Son of God became human, so that we humans can become sons and daughters of God. Have you done that this morning? Are you a son or daughter of God because of Jesus? So is that you this morning? Are you trusting in God's gifts of Jesus this morning to make you a child of God's? It doesn't matter what other gifts you get in life. Are you trusting in this gift of Jesus this morning?